Blog Talk Radio.
Radio, where I am your host, Leah Killings, Dr. Happy. Whatever you call me a child of God. I am happy, happy, happy to be here on this wonderful Monday, one that we've never seen and one we'll never see again, but praise God, we are in it. And so I'm grateful, praise God, that you decided to tune in on this Monday with me, and we're believing and trusting God that he will encourage us tonight with the lesson that he has designed for us, that he will educate us. It may not be a brand new topic, but it'll be one that we need to study a little bit more about so that we have a better understanding so that we can empower ourselves to make the necessary changes and then, praise God, to share it with someone else to be empowered to do that as well. So thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in, and welcome, welcome, welcome. If by chance you are a first-time listener, I have to make sure that I give you the greatest shout-out because you could be spending your Monday night somewhere else. And so whoever invited you, praise God, I believe that you will be encouraged and you will be educated and you will be empowered. But thank them for inviting you. And then, praise God, if it did one of those things for you, make sure that you invite someone else. For those of you, praise God, I can say 8 years. 8 years we've been in this vein doing what God has called us to do, and that is to share the gospel. And so I'm so grateful for those of you that have been with me, whether you've been with me for the full 8 years or if it's been 8 weeks, been 2 months, 2 weeks, whatever it's been. I'm grateful that you tune in each week and that you encourage me, that you keep me lifted up, keep making me want to study more so that I'll be educated on the topics that God lays on my heart to share. And you do that because I know you're praying for me. And so I always want to make sure that I give you a shout out because I'm grateful. Because you don't have to do it, but you do. And so I'm grateful for you. So I will always call you out. I will always, always, always give the spotlight to Jesse and Tammy Store, the creators of Omega Ministry, for allowing me to be part of the ministry, for teaching us and guiding us through prayer first and foremost, and then providing opportunities for us to be able to minister the word of God. And so they introduced this opportunity to me 8 years ago. And so I'm very grateful that they did and that they still support me and that they're true troopers and true examples of what it means to be a soldier and a disciple for the Lord. And so I'm grateful for being in their company, and I will always give them a shout out. Now, our greatest and most and loudest praise should always go to our Heavenly Father above. And before we go into our lesson, we always want to make sure that we start with an upbeat song to know that when Jesus says yes, nobody can say no. We acknowledge those of you that are listening, whether it's your first time, whether it's your 30th time, praise God. And then, of course, we acknowledge the Omega Ministry Group. But we always, always, always want to make sure that we acknowledge God. And so we start with prayer before we go into the lesson. So dear Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you for your wonderful blessings. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to be able to breathe the precious air that you have given. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to have life and to have it abundantly. Father, whether we understand what abundance means or not, us living is abundance. Amen. And so we just thank you. And we don't take it lightly that you give us opportunities to read and study your word, that you allow the Holy Spirit, praise God, you provided it so it can live and reside in us, so that even when we're clueless and don't know which way to go or what to say or which way to turn, the Holy Spirit is always there to govern and guide. And then, Father, we thank you, thank you, thank you that I don't even know the right words to put together, Father, other than just to say thank you again for the blood of Jesus. It is no words, all the things that he's had to go through in order for us to have the ultimate life with you, to be able to live with you not only eternally, but to live with you today, to feel your presence, and that's because of the sacrifice Jesus made. And Father, I know personally, because of all the things that I've gone through, was never and will never be enough to equate myself to what you took for me and endured for me on the cross. And so I will always give you a shout of praise. If nobody else will, I will, Father, because I acknowledge that you did that for me. And Father, I thank you because I love your people, that you did it for all of us. And so, Father, we come before you thanking you, just thanking you for all things. Thank you for the things that we can verbalize and the things that we don't even have a clue of what you do behind the scenes on our behalf. And so, Father, we just want to acknowledge you in this hour and allow you to go in the forefront to make sure that all of our ears are open, to make sure that our hearts are open to receive your word, that we will hold tight to it and that we will hide it in our hearts so that we won't sin against it. But we will do the things that you've called us all to do, and that is to live and to love and to share your goodness in your word and how and where we what we must do to be saved so that we can see you in the by and by, as they say. We want to live with you, Father, and feel the goodness and the rewards on earth today. So allow us to know what we must do, Father. So again, allow us to receive what you have for us tonight. And Father, we thank you for all things that you've done. And anything that is not right in our lives, Father, show it to us so that we can repent, so that we can always come before you with clean hands and a pure heart. We know that you are our wonderful shepherd, and we don't have to want for anything because we love you and we acknowledge you. And so, Father, again, make me invisible as you become visible to share this word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, praise God again. If you're just tuning in, this is Leah Killings, Dr. Happy, whatever you want to call me a child of God. But I'm grateful that you decided to tune in on this wonderful, wonderful Monday night where we are striving to encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. So the month of October, we normally don't dedicate, not necessarily dedicate, but we make mention and make highlight of the evil one. And I am so moved when I talk about the evil one because many of us don't talk enough about the enemy. And this month I wasn't able to get as in-depth as I wanted to because I had the other issues going on. But nevertheless, we wanted to make sure that everybody had the opportunity to know a little bit more than maybe what they thought they knew about the evil one. We know that he is coming to steal, kill, and destroy, because we say that a lot, and that he's roaming like a lion going to and fro who he can devour. But many times we don't talk about the craftiness and the skill that the enemy has and the power that he has and that he's been here for a long time, so he's mastered his skills by far, and that he has a roaring army that is obedient to everything that he says and commands. And so it is up to us to know as much as we can about our adversary so that when he strikes and throws his fiery darts, we will recognize them. And many times we don't recognize them because he is the master of deception. And when we are deceived, there is not really much we can do from the earthly sense unless we do the things that God has outlined in his word so that we don't succumb and fall to his wicked devices. But they are designed for us to fall and to fail. And so in order for you to know, you have to know what it is. So I almost liken it to when we go to school and we learn our colors all day long. And I'm a teacher at heart. And so I remember, and I can use this analogy of one of my students and her parents. And her parents were totally proud that their baby could, she was four maybe four. And she could count to 100, and she knew her days of the week, and she knew her colors, and she knew her ABCs, and they were proud. And they even bragged about how much she knew. But now me being a teacher, and my little brother, he would attest to this because he used to hate when I helped him with his homework. Because many times we learn things in order. But if we switch them up a little bit, if we put Saturday next to Tuesday and put Wednesday next to Sunday, and then we put 10 next to 15 and 30 next to the 30-35, we're a little confused because they're out of the order. So many times we learn things by repetition. We go to church Sunday after Sunday, and we learn the songs that by Jesus' stripes I'm healed and Jesus is on the main, like you want, and all that's great. But when you really have to break that down, sometimes it becomes a little difficult because we don't know it outside of that order. And so my goal for each of you, and especially those people that I try to make sure that I share, especially when I'm teaching about the things of the enemy, is that he knows how to make you look like you are the best thing since sliced bread. And you'll walk out on that believing that. And praise God. When he comes, when he snatches his toys because he doesn't play fair, you're left. And if you don't have the right words, if you don't know how to go to the word, if you don't know how to discern the word, then praise God, he has you for his right picking. And that's why the Bible is so clear about why we need to follow and do certain things in order for the enemy, for him to stay at bay. One of the coolest things is that I grew up. Well, that ain't cool. But it's cool now because I understand. But back when I was a kid, I grew up on all these stupid, scary movies. And, of course, October, that's all they do is play scary movies. And so there was a time when the commercials would come on, I'd turn the TV down or change the channel because I couldn't see it because I was too afraid. And so once I got to a point where I was not afraid anymore, and mind you, that was probably only 10 years ago, but needless to say, I'm not afraid anymore, but praise God, I had to learn. And I had to learn it didn't just come because I said I didn't want to be afraid of the devil and his imps and all the other things, the wickedness that follows him. You have to study to show yourself approved to rightly divide God's word. But if you don't never study, if you don't understand, just as Eve and Adam had everything, everything. Man, they were naming animals. Are you kidding me? They had everything they could possibly want and was still scammed by the enemy because he's skillful at what he does. And if you're not skillful, most of us believe, I got it. That's deception within itself. We don't have anything without Christ Jesus. And so if we don't acknowledge him first and say, by the stripes of Jesus or through Jesus' name or whatever Jesus is, that is the only reason why I am whatever I'm claiming to be. We have to give God his credit. And so it was interesting, a couple of days ago, somebody asked me, it's like, really, you know, you sound pretty good to be, you know, had major surgery and had cancer, praise God, removed from your body. You sound pretty good. And Amy, today makes 2 weeks. Can you believe that? But I can talk this talk. I can walk this walk because I knew God and I knew the adversary. And I knew that he wanted to come to kill, steal, and to destroy me. And so in order for that not to happen, I had to know Jesus. And I had to know what his promises were. And in order for me to know what his promises are, I had to believe it. I had to read it. I had to write it. I had to say it. And then I had to believe it. And because I could believe that whatever was upon me was not unto death, that was because that was a promise that God made to me. And because I have a relationship with him and I talk to him on a daily basis, not even just daily, I talk to him often enough throughout the day that I knew this was not unto death. I didn't know how it was going to manifest and how it was going to work out, but I knew it wasn't going to take me out because he gave me too many directions and directives of what are things that I'm supposed to do, and I haven't done those things yet. So God is not a liar. And he is not a respecter of persons. So if he healed one from cancer, he can heal me too. If he saved me, he can heal me. And if he can heal me, he can save me. But I couldn't stand on those promises unless I knew them and knew how to get to them. Now, I'm not saying that you have to know every scripture and where they're located, because that was one of the deceptions that the enemy had on me too. You don't even know where that is. Well, I don't have to know, because praise God, I know what's in there. And all I have to do is go to the little, as my girlfriend said, go to the library in my pocket. I can pick up my phone and pull it up and find it. So the devil has nothing on me. But I didn't know that I could say that to the enemy, because I thought, oh, I can't say nothing about the devil because he may come upon me. If I call his name, and I used to hear people say, I got something for you, devil. And I'm like, no, you don't invite the devil to come. That would freak me out because I didn't understand my power. I didn't understand my authority. But you can't stand in authority and stand in the power of God unless, praise God, you know what it is, because the devil knows those scriptures too. And it was almost like a movie I saw where the man was holding up the cross and the devil put his hand on the cross. And he said, that don't work for me because you ain't got no power with that. But when the man actually realized what the power was in the cross and he shown that little, put that, his hand up, he was still shaking, but he had his hand up, but he believed in his heart at that point. And so the enemy had nothing to do with him because he was like, whoa, okay, amen. You got a little power now. So he had to back up because at every name will have to bow. At Jesus, are you kidding me? You thought I was going to let cancer take me out? Now, COVID did kind of trip me up a little bit. But praise God, I was able to get over that too because, again, neither one of those words, COVID, cancer, colds, none of that, high blood pressure, stroke, none of that is in the Bible. Praise God. Now, I have to use wisdom and do the things that God called me to do so that I can live and not die and enjoy the things that he has promised me. So we got to have discernment. We got to make sure that we're praying. We got to make sure that we have a relationship that we can hear him and he can hear us. But the title of this particular lesson, because I had to give it a title, was The Devil Made Me Do It. And so God had given me, you know, kind of what to talk about. I didn't have quite a title. And so when I went on the internet and Google, I was like, the devil, that was God to probably lay down my heart, the devil made me do it. And so when I pulled it up, I thought it was odd that there was actually a storyline that a woman, her name is Arnie Cheyenne Johnson. She actually went to court with that defense that the devil made me do it. And so it is the first known case in the United States which a defense was actually brought up to prove her innocence because she claimed that she was demonically possessed, and that she didn't have the responsibility to make the right decision for her crime. That was hilarious to me that actually somebody actually used that as a defense. But scary enough, many of us use that. The devil made me do it. We'd be laughing and joking and thinking that it's funny. It's not really funny when you say the devil made me do it, because if he did, that means that you yielded yourself to allow him, knowingly yielded yourself to allow him to use you. And you, that's dangerous. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that next week. I know I said the dedicated October, but I'm going to go one more week because I want to make sure that we get a full understanding of Satan and his army, and whether Christians can be possessed or oppressed or whatever. We'll talk about that next week. But tonight I want to make sure that we understand the devil made me do it is not a term that none of us should be using, even in joking, because you're inviting him to use your body, and that is not what we want. The devil tempts us, true enough, and he tempts all of us. As I said before, he tempted Adam and Eve, and of course they fell for it. But it is no excuse when we make poor decisions. And when we make poor decisions, praise God, God is not moved by that, by saying that it was the devil. No, man, you made the decision. As much as we know that God has all power and God is all knowing and he everywhere, whenever he needs to be, and praise God, the enemy don't have all those attributes. Now, he does have power and he does have major influence, but he is not over the power of God, and he definitely can't do nothing with the blood of Jesus. And so if we know that, and if that's ingrained in our hearts, hidden in our hearts, when we are forced to make decisions to do certain things, we will make right decisions. And so that's why it's so important for us to understand, and we'll, like I said, we'll talk a little bit more about this next week. If you are allowing the excuse that the devil made me do it, then praise God, you are yielding part of your body that you shouldn't. And so the key in this, the lesson for today is basically choices. What choices are we going to make? Are we going to make the choices that we're going to listen to the prompting of the enemy, or are we going to listen to the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's prompting from the direction? They both offer the right answers, quote unquote. The devil thinks his answers are right, but we know God is God of truth. And so, but we make that decision whether we want to follow the enemy or we want to follow the things of God. And so that's why choice is such an powerful word. And so when I looked it up, and you know I love my definition, choice basically means it's an act of selecting or picking or even making a decision between two or more possibilities. And so when we talk about choice and we talk about possibilities, it could be a numerous possibilities, numerous situations, scenarios. But when we make a choice, we want to make sure that we make the choice that God has designed for us, because if we make the wrong choice, praise God, then we yield ourselves and we open ourselves to the imps of the enemy, and then he can do whatever he wants to do. Now, mind you, his goal is to conquer us. And so if his goal is to conquer us, he's not going to do it right away. He's going to make you believe that you made the right decision, that you made the right choice. And he'll lead you as long as he needs to. And then, like I said, he's a spoiled brat. He'll snatch his toys back. And then you're left like, what happened? So it is important that when we make the right choice, that we understand what we're doing. And so I kind of questioned as I was studying, well, what's the difference between decision and then a choice? Is there a difference between a decision and a choice? Well, went back to the dictionary, and the dictionary says for this decision, it is defined as a conclusion or resolution reached after consideration. And so choice is an act of selecting, but decision is more or less when you have made the resolution or conclusion. So, you know, I love my visuals. And so if I was to give a visual of what the differences of those two are, most of you know my favorite drink of choice is Pepsi. And so there is two other drinks that I kind of love. It's Tahitian Treat and Peach Crush. But if I had to choose, my word choose, if I had to choose, it just depends, I guess, on the day. Most likely I would probably choose the Pepsi. But some days I may go with the Tahitian Treat, but definitely one of those two over the Peach Crush. Now, it is not a decision until I drink one of them things. And so I can choose all day long, and I can have all three of them lined up. They can all be ice cold, have even ice chips in them. But but I have to make a decision. I made a choice which one I want, but it's not until I make the decision when I crack that bottle open and hear the nice bubbly fizz, woo, take that cold drink back, and that's when I've made the decision. And sometimes God allows us room because he gave us the influence of we have the right to choose. And sometimes if I ever was a question, I ask God a question, and that would be that. Why did you give us a choice? If we didn't have a choice, we would make the right choice all the time because we would just do whatever we were designed to do. But God loves us so much that he doesn't want to force his love on any of us. We have to make the choice, and then we have to make a decision whether or not we're going to walk in the direction that he has for us. I can say all day long, and I think that's what so many people will be confused when it comes time for judgment, that, Lord, I did choose you. I chose to give my life to you, but you didn't make a decision in your heart to walk out the life that I called for you. Anybody can say, I know the Lord and I love the Lord. The devil can say, I love the Lord. But it is a decision to follow his practices. The devil has made that choice. I'm not his decision. I'm not following his way. But I am going to present all these choices to his people and make them believe that they've made a decision when they haven't made a decision. You made a choice, but you didn't make the decision. And so tonight I want you to understand why it's so important that there is a difference between a choice and a decision. And so the more we allow our flesh to make these decisions, like I said, those three drinks could be lined up with icy cold, and I can make a decision that in spite of me just having stomach surgery, in spite of me knowing that this is not going to probably be a good way for me to heal, I can turn away and walk away from those drinks. Or I can make the decision to drink just a little bit and pray that it don't make no effects on my body. But even in that, it's still incorrect because in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. And so even though God will prefer me to be healthy and prefer me to be strong, he still will give me the choice. Lee, you decide, baby girl. How do you want, you know, you got to deal with the benefits. You got to deal with the consequences. Whatever one you choose to do, and you make that decision, baby girl, you're responsible for whatever comes behind that. And so we want to make sure that we always, always, always live our lives not according to our flesh, but according to our spirit. And sometimes that can be difficult because if you don't know how to hear God's voice, then you will many times make mistakes and follow your flesh. And that's why people are easily saying, you know, the devil made me do it, because you're not conscious of why you made the decision you made in the first place. But if you follow, you let your spirit man speak on your behalf, and you listen to the Spirit of God that's inside of you, you will make the right decision. And so the scripture reference that God gave us for tonight is found in Romans 8, and I suggest you read the whole chapter because it's amazing. So we're just going to skip around because I want to make sure that I get the message that God really wants us to have on tonight. So the first, Romans 8, the first four verses talk about, you know, there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ. And we talked about condemnation a couple months ago about how God convicts. He doesn't condemn. The enemy condemns because he wants you to continue to be reminded of all the bad things you did and the things that you may do that is coming up. You may do it. God doesn't remind you of those things over and over again to nitpick you, to make you have your emotions take you in places where you shouldn't be. God will convict you and give you that spirit of like, Leah, those testes look good, but that's not good. It's not good for you. And then it's, oh, Lord, okay. And the conviction, do you want to be well? Do you want to do the things that I've called for you to do? You're not going to be able to do that if you keep being disobedient. And so the conviction makes me turn away the cold drinks, praise God, because I'm trying to live by my spirit man. And so that spirit man is going to convict me to do the right thing. But praise God, 1-4 talks about the body of following the spirit. But we're going to start at verse 5, and it says, those who live according to their flesh have their mindset on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the spirit have their mindset on what the spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind that is governed by the spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God, It does not submit to the It does not submit to God's laws, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. Verse 9. However, you are not in the realm of the flesh, but you are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if you, but if Christ lives in you, then even though your body is subjected to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. Now I'm going to pause right here for a second. Now the coolest thing is talking about the realms of the flesh and the realms of the Spirit. Now, one of the things I think sometimes many of us, those of us that are believers and those that are us that, you know, have not made that decision to walk with the things of God, forget that we are spiritual beings. Many of us walk around in this flesh and we believe that the flesh is dictating and determining everything you do when it's not. I love the scripture in the Old Testament, and I apologize, I don't know the exact scripture, how the soldier was like, Lord, I don't know if we can do this. I just don't know if we can fight this army. And God pulled a curtain back in the spirit realm so he could see. Sometimes we have to ask God to show us so that we can understand, because the flesh, the scripture, the flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Sometimes, especially when I was at my sickest of the sickest, at the most frustrated times, Lord, I can't do this no more. It's too much. I can't pretend anymore. I can't fake it. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm tired. So my flesh had become weak. My spirit was willing, but at some point my spirit even got a little shaken. And then it was in those times that I did plead to God, Lord, show me. Give me something to make me fight, to help me stand, to do what you need for me to do. And in those times, God had revealed to me, not physically, because my physical body didn't change, but my spiritual body did. My spirit man gave me the boost that I needed to help me understand this is not unto death. You are in righteousness of God, and because of the word and the promises that you have, you will overcome this. And so even when I just, Lord, I need a human body. I need human voice, ears, somebody. I need encouragement. And he would send the right person to say the right thing, or text and text the right things, or send the means, whatever it was. That's what I love about God, because he will meet you where you are. And so that's why it's so important that we understand we are spiritual beings living in this earthly experience. This all flesh is going to fade away, but our soul man and our spirit, you know, will live forever. And so we have to be mindful. Just because my flesh wants that Pepsi doesn't necessarily mean that I have to live according to what my flesh desires. I have to live according to what my spirit tells me, because I don't know, because I don't foreknow, for I can't predict the future, although the spirit will give us visions and dreams of things that are to come at times, the day-to-day, hour-to-hour, many of us don't know. And so because we don't know, we have to rely on the things of God. And so if he knows me drinking this Pepsi or me doing too much or doing too much of this or that, the spirit man will convict me and tell me, Leah, you need to sit your little happy self down and you need to drink some water. And so because of the conviction of that, I will be obedient. That is listening to my spirit man, not my flesh, because my flesh all day long, all day wrong, want a cold Pepsi or a Tahitian treat. Amen. But I'm listening to my flesh, and you have your own challenges. You have your own vices. What is the Lord telling you to put down? But your flesh is craving. This is what this is talking about. It says, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to him. We want to belong to Christ, and we want to believe him. And so in order for us to do that, we have to die to this body. It says your body is subject to death because of sin. The spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, that's the part to shout about. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give you your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. So basically what that's saying, the same spirit that brought Jesus back from the dead. I mean, if we really put our minds around that, it is mind-blowing. Jesus came back to life. That same spirit lives in us. So why are we afraid when the bill collectors call? Are you kidding me? There's no reason for us to be afraid. There's no reason for us to change the channel because a stupid commercial comes on. We are in the body and in the spirit. Are you kidding? I get tongue-tied thinking about how much power I gave the enemy because I wasn't aware of how much power and authority that resides in me because I just believed that God was God and that Christ did what he had to do on that cross for me, and he paid the penalty to sin that I could stand with the power and authority that I could watch this morning. Was it this morning? I think it was morning, this last night. I watched a documentary on The Exorcist. Now, why would I watch something crazy like that? But I thought, Lord, okay, I need to see. I'm covering myself, of course, but I wanted to study it more so because they were talking about how it was such a phenomenon that when they made that movie, how all these people that were making that movie were having problems in their regular lives outside of the filming. And so the message that God was giving, you can't play with the devil. You just can't. You play with the devil, praise God. Like I said, he'll allow you to play with his toys. He will, because that's his way of deception. He'll deceive you and make you believe, yeah, this is cool. You can talk about me. If you are not led by the Spirit of God to do those things, then praise God. Eve and Adam, I can't go back to that, had everything, and they were deceived. So what makes you think that you can't be deceived? You can. Don't play with the devil. Anyway, verse 12, it says, therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. So that scripture alone, for you live according to the flesh, you will die. So if I continue to do the things that my body wants to do, praise God, eventually it's going to die. But if I live by the Spirit that God put into me, death, the misdeeds of I will live. So that was enough for me to know that, praise God, cancer wasn't going to take over me. COVID is not going to take over me. A common cold is not going to take over me. Why? Because I am trying my best to live by the Spirit and not by my flesh. So when my spirit man tells me, don't go outside today, stay inside. When my spirit man says, don't go down that road, don't go down that hallway, don't go to that lane at Walmart. Matter of fact, don't even go to that Walmart. Go to the Walmart across town. Those are the people that live in the righteousness of God. For 14 says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Wouldn't you tell your child to go somewhere and to be safe, and you wouldn't send them into danger? God doesn't do that if you live by the Spirit. But you got to hear him, and you got to have your ears open. You got to be conditioned to hear him, because the enemy wants to deceive you. And so, praise God, if you don't have keen hearing, then he will deceive you, and you'll believe you're hearing God. But if you can't make the decision of those voices, I know I've said this on the broadcast before, another question I would ask God if I had to, but that was in the past. I know the answer now. But many times it was, Lord, why do you speak so softly? The enemy is loud. Beat her, slap her, cuss her out, kick her, whatever. But the Spirit of God is, no, forgive, walk away. I'm like, what you say, Lord? What you say? Really? You don't want me to say nothing? You want me to be quiet? Okay. Really, Lord, you want me to be quiet? Those voices, if you don't understand, you can be mixed up. And so when I asked, Lord, why is it that way? And then I read the scripture, and it said, my shepherd know my voice. I mean, my sheep know my voice. He's a shepherd. I should know his voice. Just like the sheep know the voice of their leader, they follow. And they, you know, sometimes he has to use his little staff to get them back and check. But they're obedient. And that's what we have to be to God. We have to be obedient. We have to know his voice. And when we hear his voice, praise God, we know that we live in the Spirit and we're walking in the Spirit. So verse 15 says, the Spirit you've received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear. Again, rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit in himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his suffering in order that we may also share in his glory. Again, another place to shout, why? Because I know now that I am the heir of God. I think we sometimes forget because all these things could bombard us. And I know that the enemy is good. He's good. He's good at his at what he does. He does the deception, and then he does distraction. He will distract us and allow all these things, like for a year since January, January 27th to be, as a matter of fact, I have been sick. I have been at places where I couldn't even walk to the bathroom. I couldn't talk. I couldn't open my eyes. I couldn't breathe. I mean, and then I was confused, and I was really, really broken in my spirit. But listening to me today, you wouldn't believe that that was just a couple months ago. Why? Was it because I yielded to my flesh? A couple of days I might have, because I was just a little weak. But God knows how to nurse us and bring us back to health. But I was in my spirit most of the time because I had to really meditate and do the things that I need to do to build my spirit man up so that today, praise God, and the next few days, praise God, it's going to be off the chain. Why? Because I went through my test, I went through my journey, and now, praise God, the suffering is over. Although I still can count it all joy when things come, because I know things are still going to come, because the enemy is not going to just like, okay, she passed the test, I'm going to leave her alone. No, he's going to continue, because now I'm on a different level. But, praise God, I'm also on a different level with the things of God, because now I know, without a shadow of a doubt, no matter what it looks like. Cancer, are you kidding me? Nothing. For me. Now, I can't say that everybody's stories will be the same, but for me, and I believe like my godmother to my children always has said, if you don't know Christ before you go into the storm, praise God, it's going to be difficult to come out. So while we're in our regular day-to-day mundane, these are the times that you study. These are the times that you get God's scriptures in your heart, these promises, so that when the time comes that you are bedridden or you can't move or the most you can say is Jesus, you can say Jesus with authority because you know without a shadow of a doubt that he's protecting you and that he will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. And so you've got to study to show yourself approved. Now we're going to skip down to verse 26 because of time. It says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. Remember I said that he helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know that we ought to pray for, but the Spirit intercedes for us through wordless groans. There are many times over this course, praise God, I didn't know what to say. All I could say was Jesus, and then pray in the Spirit and let the Holy Spirit speak on my behalf. Because it says in verse 27, he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance to the will of God. So I knew, Lord, as long as I'm in the will of God, that you're going to bring me through this. Now, there were times that I needed to be built up, because I'm not going to say I'm a super saint, because there's no such thing. Although, praise God, the devil will make you believe that you're a super saint, because I thought kind of I was a super saint. Lord, I have all this knowledge, all this wisdom, all these gifts, all these talents. Why me? Because the enemy made me believe I was a super saint. And so God had to remind me, the only super in this is me. You do the natural, and I'll put the super on it. And so I do not ever, ever, ever want to do that again where I forget again that he's the vine and that I'm just the branch. As long as I stay in him, praise God, I will bear all the fruit that will remain, because I can't do anything without him. Now, those of you that know, that's my favorite scripture, John 15:5. I can say that scripture backwards and forwards and backwards, middle, whatever. I can write 100-page paper just on that scripture alone, just because it's mine. That's what helped me and brings me through whenever I need. That's my go-to scripture. All of us should have a go-to scripture that we stand on, that no matter what happens, that we can quote that scripture and it will bring us through. It'll bring us back to our spirit man to understand that God is in control, not our flesh. Amen. Verse 28. For we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So, again, one of the things that I think that I stress a lot about the vine, allowing God being the vine. I stress a lot about making sure that you pray in the beginning of your day, the middle part of your day, the end of your day. Pray, both pray at all times without ceasing. I'm also a firm believer that you got to get into that word. You have to study his word. And then last but not least, you got to put the armor on. And so the only way that you can put your armor on, praise God, is you got to know the meaning of the armor. And once you do all that, then praise God, you can't help but walk in your purpose. Your purpose is not to be the Avon lady or whatever decision that you decided to make. You have to make the decision that God has given you based on the purpose that he's brought you here, according to his purpose, not my purpose, according to his purpose. I know one of the things me and my daughter struggled with for years when she started college was, have you seen God what he wants for you to do? It's not about what you want to do. What has God called you to do? Because if you continue to fight that, eventually he's going to find his way, because his word is not going to go back to him. Boy, you're going to end up back to where he is. So why would you take that wrong detour doing what you want when you do what he wants you to do? Praise God, because his vision and his purpose will eventually, your mind and your will line up, and praise God, and some of the desires of your heart, he will allow you to do, but you have to fulfill his purpose, because all of us have a purpose, all of us. I love that this scripture, verse 29 says, for new, he also predestined to be conformed in the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren and sisters. Those who he predestined, he also called, and for those he called, he also justified, and for those he justified, he also glorified. So if you know your purpose and you're walking in your purpose, praise God, and you're doing the things that God has called you to do. Now, mind you, the Bible is full of scriptures, but I am a firm believer that most of them all are centered around that you're made in his image, that you acknowledge he's divine, and that you are bred, that you follow and you do the things that he's called you to do, and keep your eyes and ears open so that you can witness and share the gospel to those that he puts in front of you, praise God. The rest of it just kind of fills in because it's just confirming. Whew. I get so excited when I talk about the word and why it's so difficult for me to understand why people say that they're super saints and they're not super saints. I mean, because they're not following the super one that can give you everything that you need. Those of us, that's remarkable. You're talking like that, you're on the broadcast, and you just had cancer and all that. No, it's not because of what I did. It's because the one that lives in me, the one that lives in me has a purpose for me, and I have been predestined and have been called. So he's going to justify whatever testimony that he needs to give me. And so I was kind of guilty. I was like, Lord, I don't want no more testimonies. I'm good. I got enough. But it's like whatever testimony I can use and pull out of my file cabinet, I can minister to whoever based on whatever things that I've gone through. And I've gone through quite a bit. But he knows that I don't have no problem sharing. He knows I don't have no problem because I'm not going to take his glory. This is all God. I'm not going to give it to no doctor. I'm not going to give it to no pills. I'm not going to give it to no surgeon, none of that. I'm going to give it to God because God orchestrated every step. He knew that these people would make me mad enough that I wasn't going nowhere. And then he brought a voice out of the deep, out of my college deep, and said, go to the Cancer Treatment Center of America. And didn't know that they were going to have all these blessings and all this wisdom and understanding that would help me understand who I am and what I'm supposed to be doing so I could get my flesh back in order so that I can really do the things that God's called me to do. Why? Because I am more than a conqueror. I love this. This is all still in Romans 8. Read this chapter. Get it in your spirit because, praise God, it will help you understand why we do the things that we are doing. Verse 38 says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth or anything else in all creation will be able to separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus my Lord. Are you kidding me? Whew. So I could put cancer in there. I could put COVID in there. I could put high blood pressure, diabetes, whatever. Whatever you're going through, none of that is going to separate you from the love of God. So if you understand the love of God, and the love of God means that you have purpose because he brought you here for a reason. And you be about his business. You won't have no desire to be telling nobody the devil made me do nothing. You don't want to even acknowledge. You have to acknowledge that he's present, and you be prepared for him when he throws his fiery darts. But that's why the armor is so important, and why you have to put it on, why you have to start your day with prayer. Put your armor on before you even go out and go anywhere. Do you realize, too, we keep talking about go out into the world. The enemy knows how to come in our bedroom. He come in our house, so you got to clean your house. There's so much the Bible can equip you to help you understand. Now, mind you, there was a time since from January 27th to today that I was too weak to even walk around my house to pray. But I had my mind. I knew I had my right mind, and it was, Lord, I need for you to cover my home. I need for you to make sure that whatever comes near my dwelling, Father, that you cancel that, because I can't give him no more room. No more room. I can't handle any more fiery darts, because you said you ain't going to put no more on than I can bear. And this scale is getting a little heavy, so help us, Sister Lord, because I need to know what to do. And it was keep your mind on me. Just keep your mind on me. Even when I had that moment where I thought that the enemy was coming to take my life, because I pretty much said, Lord, I'm ready to go. So, tonight I closed my eyes, just make it smooth. And when I saw that figure in the hallway, and it was like, oh, Lord, I repent. I change my mind. What do I need to do to get that out the hallway and for it not to bother my children? Lord, what do I need to do? What scripture do I read? And it was coming so fast, and so I just opened the Bible, started reading. And so the more I read, the more I felt that presence leave. And when I looked, I'm like, Lord, what means thou this? What was this for? And it was, if you keep your eyes on me, I will handle the stuff that is surrounding you. That has nothing to do with you. You do what I told you to do. Stay in my word. And so I can talk today with a clear voice, with excitement and joy, even though I had surgery 2 weeks ago, because I know of the power of God. I know the power of prayer. I know the power of knowing how to have the right people in my ears so that I can hear the right things. And more importantly, I make sure I put my armor on. And why is the armor important? The armor is important for all of us. All of us. When the Bible talks about that we're going to face principalities, powers, rulers of this dark age, spiritual wickedness, and high places, we on a daily basis. The enemy ain't going to slack up just because I'm now telling people that I've been delivered from COVID and cancer. Do you think he's going to let up on me? No. But I'm ready for him more so than I was, because I got a little distracted, because I got into my flesh and believed I was a super saint, because I was starting this ministry, that, you know, I had been elevated. Amen. We can get caught in our flesh so easily, because the enemy, he plays for keeps, but he does it enough where you don't even realize what he's doing. And so he doesn't care that it takes 2 weeks, 2 years, 10 years. He'll keep knowing and making you believe that you are in control, and praise God. Then he snatches the rug from up under you, and you're like, oh, Lord, I repent. So we got to stay focused. We got to keep our ears to the word. We got to keep our hearts in the word. We got to keep our mind focused on the things of God. And so that's what I love about the armor. And so because of time, I don't have time to go through in depth of all the pieces, as we've done often enough on the broadcast, for those of you that have been following. But if I could just go through a couple. The helmet of salvation, of course, that is to cover your mind. And it helps you to recognize who you are and what you are, because what you think, praise God, is what you'll become. My daughter last night, I mean, she had me so fired up, man, I had to catch myself, because she was like, I'm going to fail my test tomorrow because I always fail. And I was like, what did you say? I said, say that again. Say it again. And she looked at me, and I was like, what did them words on the wall? Get over here. Read your confession. What did that say? That don't say nothing about you failing. That don't say nothing about you not doing well. That don't say none of that. So you get your mind right, because what you confess will happen. If you keep saying you'll fail, you will fail. If you say that you have the promises of God, he's going to show you how to study, how for you to break it down for your understanding. There is no room for giving the enemy a rope for him to make you will become a cowboy. Stop. Don't make the wrong confession. Say the things that God says to you. That's why your mind is important, for you to protect it and for you to say the things and believe the things that are true, so that your body will line up. The breastplate covers your heart. It helps us to be in right standing with God because God knows our hearts. He really does. But saying, you know, God knows my heart. Yeah, he really does. He knows if it's stained and black, and he knows if it's pure and for him. So get it together. Make the right decisions and make the right choices. Amen. The belt of truth is put to cover your loins. And I like that it says that it helps us from living lies because we want to be focused on the truth. And we want to understand that God's word is truth and he is truth. We will be focused on him, that we will do things according to what he's called us to. And, of course, the feet, which the part of this lesson that I think I want to leave you with to make sure that we understand, is that when we stand, it helps us to be in peace with the gospel of God and understand that Satan is beneath us. He's under our feet. So when we stand, that means that we are established. And when we are established, then praise God, the enemy can't be double-minded and wavering. And so I like that the definition for stand, it says to be established, situated in a particular place or position, to maintain, to be upright in position, and you're being supported by your feet. So if you don't have good footing because you don't have a strong foundation, praise God, you will tip over. That's why I love the vine and I am the branch, because when I look at those trees, which are my favorite to watch, especially when the wind is blowing, how they bend and they lean and they swing and they sway. But praise God, if their roots are deep enough, praise God, amen, they're going to stand and they'll outlive us, amen. So you got to make sure that you have, you're standing in the right stance and have the right attitude and the right posture so that you can be able to do what God has called you to do. And then praise God, you have to have your hands equipped with the sword of the spirit and the shield of faith, because they are our defenses as well as our opposition. It helps us to be protected because we use the word, praise God, and then we can shut doors that the enemy tries to open by making us believe and do different things that are contrary to the things of God. And so, like I said, next week we'll talk a little bit about the army of the enemy and why he is so particular and why he's so good at deception and deceiving. But nevertheless, I wanted to make sure that you understand that on a daily basis, you have to pray. You have to put your armor on, and you have to pray throughout your day, and you have to be firm in believing and knowing that you're pursuing the life that God has purposed for you. And you can't do that unless you study to show yourself approved, to rightly divide his word so that you can know what you're supposed to do. Amen. Well, I could keep talking, as you see, but I'm out of time, and so I have to stop now. But I want to make sure that I give a great shout-out to my granny because I know she's always listening. And praise God, she's 95, and we're believing God for her to live as long until she's satisfied according to the word, praise God. And then we read from most of the chapter of Romans 8. Get that in your knowing, get that in your heart, so that whatever you're going through, you know that it's not unto death, unless that's, you know, your time, praise God. God only knows that. But he said that he will give us long life. So you got to do what you got to do to get yourself in the right standing so that you can stand firm and flat-footed to make the right choices and then make the right decision. Amen. Well, again, this is Leah Killings with Empowered to Change Block Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. And next week, we'll do one more week on the adversary. And then, praise God, we'll move on because we're getting close to the end of the year. We want to make sure that our hearts and minds are ready and ripe to do what God has called us to do, especially during a time where the world does a lot of giving. But we want to make sure that we take this opportunity to give for us to live the life that God has called us to. And we'll talk about how to be ready for that. But again, I pray that you have been blessed. I pray that you've been encouraged, that you have been educated, and that you have been empowered. And tune in again next week. My granny song is Every Praise Belongs to God, and it really, really does. God bless you all, and most importantly, as I always say before I close, start your day with prayer. Pray and end your day with prayer. God bless you, and have a wonderful evening. Be blessed.
Let me hear the worshiper! Where's all of my praise? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
Every praise
to our God.
To our God.
Every word of worship.
Every word of worship. praise.
Every praise
is to our God.
To our God.
Y'all know how we do it. Take it up. Every praise,
every praise
is to our God.
To our God.
Every word of worship
is one accord.